L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone, welcome into the Finnish Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and today I'm joined by Kyle Yates and Joe Pisapia. He's the author of the number one best-selling Fantasy Black Book series, and he's on Twitter at JoePisapia17. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Yates is at Kyle YNFL. First of all, Yates, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good, man. I am excited to talk some football. We are, you know, we've got some news to break down. We got Damian Williams opting out. We got some other key players. News is starting to pick up, man. So yeah, I'm ready to talk about it.
And we've still got four more days for players to opt out. So I'm sure there's going to be some other big names. Do not do your drafts. If your commissioner has said that you've got a draft coming up in the next 4 days, boycott. Don't do your draft in the next 4 days because it is going to get ugly.
Go on strike. Hold out.
Right. Joe, how's it going, buddy?
I got a draft tomorrow. I'll go yell at Jake Seeley. It's his fault. I am in accord with you guys totally about this. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm always happy to be here talking with you two, especially. It's always fun. Because I like you guys. I mean, I don't know. Who couldn't like you two? I don't understand. But I'll say this. You're absolutely right. If you can postpone any drafts, you should, because just like baseball, like we're in a place here where everything is so fluid. You're doing your league a disservice. You're doing the credibility of everything a disservice, where it's going to be more about luck than anything. And I don't mean Andrew kind. I mean, like, just the bad kind. And I don't want to get involved with that. Unfortunately, this is a big draft because I'm defending my championship for the Flex League, for the Super Flex League on Friday. And again, it's kind of like we're all looking at each other like, well, it's that time of year. We got to do it. We have the draft every time, you know, somewhere around here. And I know Jake likes to put it out there, but it's going to be tough, man. Everyone's just kind of keeping their fingers crossed, whatever they take.
Right. Absolutely right. So, Joe, what is your fantasy black book, man? Because we get this question every time you come on, dude.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Bobby Sylvester. the fantasy black book is just wonderful. It's the great coffee book table. It turns into a table when if you don't have a coffee table. It does all of those things. But the fantasy football black book is, of course, on Amazon. We are trying to do something different and unique out there in the fantasy football space. We have a fantastic group of people, Mike Tagliere aside, who are contributing to the Black Book. You as well, who contributed, and just Adam Ronis, Elia Chris, like some of the best minds out there, Nate Hamilton, Derek Brown, Scott Bogman, Kate Magic. I go on and on and on. It's a list of incredible people. And it's about relative position value, which is understanding how much better a player is than another player at their specific position, and more importantly, at their fantasy position. So RB1 is a position, RB2 is a position, and you can't think of RB as a giant group. You have to think of them as roster slots. And when you start changing your brain like that and you understand not just about rankings, but where tiers are in rankings, and then you can quantify them, and it's something that's adaptable and usable in every single format, it really is a game-changing thing. And it's why we've had the success. And I'm very grateful to have you guys be a part of it, all jokes aside. And I'm very grateful for all the support the Fantasy Pros has given to it as well. And go get it on Amazon and go get it on iTunes. You can get the Kindle version if you like to save trees, or you can go get the paperback, which everybody seems to like. Everyone wants to hold it in their hand.
So here's the plan for today's show, guys. All right. First of all, we're obviously going to talk about the Damian Williams opting out news. And then we're going to do an all sleeper team draft. So we've each got 7 players, 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, and 1 tight end that are outside the top 100 ADP. That's what we consider to be sleepers. You might consider it something else. That's what we're going to roll with for today's show, though. Before we get into the Damian Williams news, I want to let you know we've got a signed Davante Adams jersey that we're giving away. FantasyPros.com/contest if you want to check out this bad boy, all the details. Basically, what it comes down to is all you need to do is go on over to Apple Podcast or Stitcher, leave us an honest review, then take a screenshot of that review and send it to us at contest@FantasyPros.com. This contest ends July 31st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, so make sure to get your entries in as soon as possible. And by the way, we're always able to do these giveaways thanks to Pristine Auction. And when you guys go to Pristine Auction, use a registration code FANTASYPROS. It's free to sign up, and it just tells them we're sending people their way. That way we can keep doing these giveaways. But you guys are going to love Pristine Auction. You're going to want to get this $5 credit because they've got all kinds of great values, hundreds of items auctioned off every single day. And you're definitely going to be able to find something for your cave. Everything is guaranteed authentic. And there's some great prices as well. You can find a signed mini helmet for under $50 and signed jerseys also for under $50 sometimes. If you look, you're going to be able to find these values. There are always great values at Pristine Auction. That's Pristine auction.com. All right, you're first, Joe. We're going to go with the quarterback position. Who is your sleeper?
Our boy Yates here already stole one of my quarterbacks that I like. So I'm going to go the extreme other route. I'm going to go with old man Roethlisberger coming back from injury. Why not? Why not? I mean, geez, 2 years ago, the guy threw for 5,000 yards. I understand AB's not there. I understand Le'Veon Bell's not there. But you know what? We've had different casts of characters before. And I went back and I looked at the different casts of characters. And you know what? Ben Roethlisberger is still pretty good. I think potential low-end QB1 this year. And considering the value you got him, it's a really good spot. I think I'd love to have him and Drew Brees and play Roethlisberger on the Drew Brees road games. And I think I can maximize my quarterback productivity. And I'll tell you what, man, I think even single quarterback leagues this year, you would be smart to draft a second quarterback. Very, very smart to do so, because one positive COVID test and you're missing a quarterback for 2 weeks. And that's something y'all have to keep in mind. And I do think Big Ben has something to prove. And I think Big Ben has enough here with Deontay Johnson and enough here with Juju. I think James Conner is a really good back. I'm, like everybody else, concerned about how much he's going to hold up over a full season. But I always like to believe in guys in contract years more than anything else. So I'm going to go with Big Ben and try to dust Big Ben off a little bit and see if he's got one more good year in him.
Yates, we have talked about probably 10,000 billion Niner players this entire preseason. I don't think we've talked about Big Ben once.
I think so. I mean, as he mentioned, I was like, oh, wait, we actually haven't talked about Big Ben a ton. And I think that's a miss on our part, right? I think he's just fallen outside the criteria of every episode that we've done. So I'm glad Joe's bringing him up because I'm in agreement. I have him at QB 14. So he's right on this edge of, yeah, you know, a tight end or a tight end one. Goodness. A QB one. And so
he could play tight end.
He could play tight end. I legitimately think he would be the slowest person out there, but I think he could play it. No, he's someone who, like Joe said, every argument that Joe made, I'm in agreement with. I think he's someone who we absolutely need to be considering. And what you mentioned, Joe, I did want to ask you a question. So you said, like, this is the year that we need to be thinking about taking two quarterbacks. I'm in agreement. Do you think that leagues should be adding extra bench spots? Like, 100%. We haven't talked about this a ton, but if you're in a typical redraft league, you typically don't go in 14 rounds. Is this a year that you need to be going to 16, you know, maybe even 17, 18? So that way, then it makes sense to double up and grab that quarterback. Because I would have a tough time grabbing a second quarterback in a 14-round league.
Yeah, and I can understand why. But I also think there's going to be so much play on the waiver wire with running backs and wide receivers and other players who, I think inevitable positive tests are going to pop up there. And what that does is it's going to possibly shut down a team for a while, or at least a few players for a while. And I think you have to at least prepare for that. So yeah, extra roster spots would definitely help that. But the quarterback position is one where I don't want that kind of drop off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't – the drop – and also, respectively, too, you have to start thinking about who the backup quarterbacks are on certain teams. For instance, like, I feel pretty good about, you know, if, God forbid, anything happened to Drew Brees, that Winston would still keep Michael Thomas quite relevant. And I think you have to kind of use those things as tiebreakers when you're starting to evaluate talent. Like, I like this guy and this guy. Well, this guy is playing in a good quarterback situation, and the secondary guy is workable. Okay, well, what's the drop-off on this other position? Ugh, not really good for the backup quarterback there. Does that make me like this player as much? And I know it sounds crazy, but I think at least having that conversation in your head is kind of important this year.
I've got him as my QB21, guys. So let's keep moving though. Yates, who do you have as your sleeper at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I'm going to bring up Cam Newton, because if we're talking about Cam Newton and the fact that his ADP hasn't risen yet, you know, just based on him signing later on in the offseason, I don't think that his ADP has had a chance to rise yet. Guys, he's going to be the unquestioned starter in this offense. You put Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham side by side in training camp practices, Cam Newton's going to blow Stidham out of the water. If he's healthy, of course, that's a caveat. But every indication is that he is fully healthy. So if we're talking about that, then we're talking about an extremely mobile quarterback. Is he going to run for 130 times like he has in years past? No, probably not. But I can see 80 to 90. And if that's the case, he's instantly going to outperform his ECR of QB 18 and his ADP of quarterback 23. Like, I just don't understand why he's so low right now. And I think it will come up as the offseason goes on and we see some hype videos come out from the Patriots camp and all that. But I think Cam Newton right now is an absolute steal. If you want to wait on quarterback, or if you want to take the approach that Joe is talking about, if you want to take a second quarterback, Cam Newton is a fantastic option at his current ADP.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Bill just runs him into the ground. I don't know how long he'll last.
Well, Cam might run himself into the ground. I mean,
sure, that's true. But while he's healthy, I want him. I mean, before he got hurt in 2018, I think it was through 7 weeks, he was the QB3 again in fantasy football. That's what he always is when he's healthy.
Yeah, I'm a Patriots fan. People know this about me, and some of them don't like it about me. But I'll say this: like, Cam Newton is certainly on a 1 year contract, who's got an opportunity here to basically prove his worth again. This is the year to be in on Cam. It doesn't cost you much to find out. And he's motivated to prove everybody wrong. And that's always a dangerous thing with a great athlete. And I think he is a great athlete. I think he's, you know, got some shortcomings there as well. But man, if it doesn't cost you anything to find out, you get that greatness, especially in a super flex as your second quarterback. I love Cam Newton in that role specifically on that. So I'm with Kyle on this one too. This is another really good quarterback.
I'll chime in really quick and just say, like, if Josh McDaniels made Tim Tebow a very good quarterback,
that's
imagine
true,
what
man.
He's going to do with Cam Newton, man.
They won a playoff game with Tebow, man.
I know.
Didn't they go like 8-2 or something when he was the starter?
Those fourth quarter comebacks for Tebow. Yeah, those were insane.
That was a lot of fun to watch. That was maybe my favorite season of any team to watch, was the Tim Tebow Broncos, because they always found a way to win. And it was just fun watching him out there, man.
It was
totally different football. All right, everyone who's been listening to the show for a while knows who my quarterback is, but there's some new people listening, so I'm going to say the arguments anyway. He's the QB17 in terms of ECR, QB18 in terms of ADP, and guess what? He was the best quarterback in football last year, at least in the 11 weeks he was the starter. It's Ryan Tannehill, guys. He had a historically great season. His yards per attempt were so far better than any other quarterback in those 11 weeks he started. 1.1 yards per attempt more than any other quarterback. That's the career difference between Tom Brady and Trent Dilfer. It's twice the difference between Drew Brees and Andy Dalton, or Peyton Manning and Jay Cutler. Tannehill was ridiculous as a starter. The Titans had the most points per game from the week he took over, and it's not like he was bad back in Miami either. Through his four seasons, he was third all-time in passing yards behind just Peyton Manning and Dan Marino. He was top 10 all-time in touchdowns, top 10 in interception rate. He was really dang good, guys, and that was with lackluster weapons, struggling offensive line. Finally, he gets a complete offense, and what'd he do? He broke out and was the best quarterback in football. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in football, but he was last year. Even if he takes a big step back, he's going to outproduce his ADP, and I think he has a chance to be a stud. Now, I get it. He's got some volume issues. We'll see what happens there, but, I mean, there was a day when Tom Brady had volume issues too, guys.
Kyle, you want to go first on this one?
I mean, I think Tannehill is a great quarterback, and I think he showed us a lot last year that he can be fantasy relevant. I'm not going to deny those numbers. However, a lot of that came on the back of AJ Brown's yards after the catch. And a couple episodes ago, Bobby, we were talking about how, as far as regression, A.J. Brown's in for massive regression from a yards per reception standpoint. You don't average 20 yards per reception each year. That's going to come down, which directly affects Tannehill's passing yards. So with that in mind, I think Tannehill doesn't have necessarily the numbers or the I don't think he's going to have the passing volume to be a top 12 quarterback, which is kind of what you're looking for in this range. But if we are talking about Tannehill outperforming his ADP, yeah, I'll get on board with that. He's someone who I want as my QB2 in a super flex league. I have him in our dynasty league. I'll trade him to you.
Oh, please for sure. Trade him, man. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to pull this up while Joe's talking about his next player so I don't forget.
All right. Oh, look, as far as Tannehill for me, by the way, 2 cents there. He had a magical run last year. It was terrific. Yes, there's definitely regression there for AJ. There's no doubt about that as well. But, you know, I think you also have to look and give a player credit where credit's due, too. If you're efficient when you do touch the football, yes. Is it sustainable? Probably not. But at the same time, it's something to be aware of. And some players have shown that they just have a knack for doing that. They make the most of the opportunities they have. And, and I don't want to ding them too much on that either. I think it's a lot to get Tannehill up above the board again. But again, as a secondary quarterback and super flex, man, I think you could do worse than Tannehill. That's for sure.
I mean, if it was sustainable, we'd be taking him as the number two quarterback off the board because that's what he was in the 11 weeks that he started. It's obviously not sustainable, but how far do you drop him? Let's go to the running back position. Joe, you're first.
All right, let's do them together for the sake of time and efficiency, everybody. You know what? Everyone's going to think I'm crazy on this one, but I feel like every single summer we do the same thing. It's like, who is going to dismiss Philip Lindsay again this year? And every summer we do it. It's like, they brought in this guy or they drafted this guy. And now it's Melvin Gordon. And we just keep going on in the circle about Lindsay. And Lindsay keeps putting up 1,000-yard seasons. Somehow he defies all logic and keeps doing this. And I'm starting to wonder at a certain point when we're looking at Melvin Gordon and we're looking at this team and we're saying, okay, Melvin Gordon also has a history of getting hurt. And if you don't realize that, go back and look at some of the non-finishes that he's had to seasons. And I'm not saying that Lindsay's going to run away with things, but I think that this is a guy that I think every year we keep trying to somehow put into like a bubble and pass him off and say like, no, he's no good. Or yeah, can't work again. Or no, this guy's going to go ahead of him. And it just never happens. And I feel like at a certain point, we have to give him a little bit of credit. And I think as a depth running back, you could do worse than that kind of talent, because how many guys can you draft as depth running backs who have 1,000-yard seasons to their credit? And I think that's something to keep in mind.
Back
and
the other guy, years too.
Yeah. And the other guy for me is Damian Harris, who I'm getting a little antsy about the Sony Michel stuff. And that's just, you know, once again, Patriots running backs can be infuriating. I totally get that. But at the same time, they are going to run the football and play defense. I think that is their MO. You look at that wide receiving core, that's what they have to do. So if for some reason Sony Michel is not ready right away, or he doesn't look good, Harris is going to get a lot more volume than people think. I still love James White in this offense, regardless of who's playing quarterback. But Harris is another sneaky guy where it would not shock me in year two, all of a sudden, for him to get more reps, especially with, again, we're always like waiting for the shoe to drop with Sony Michel.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows I love Damian Harris. Sonny Michel's coming off not just an off-season surgery, but it happened in late spring, and it's a foot surgery, so that's kind of a big deal. Now, the other name that you mentioned, Philip Lindsay, there's another guy who had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons to start his career, Jordan Howard, and then he faded. You know what I mean? So I just can't see it happening with Melvin Gordon, but then again, you're right. Every time we discount him, what does he do? Wait, Yates, what do you think about these two?
Yeah, I love the Philip Lindsay call. I have him at RB30.
Okay.
I have him at RB31 in my rankings.
Whoa.
And so I think he's going to have standalone value. You do not take Philip Lindsay off the field. So I think this more is a conversation about it hurts Melvin Gordon's overall ceiling. Is Gordon going to be as fantasy relevant as he was? You know, is he going to be in the top 10 conversation that he was in LA now in Denver? No, I don't think so. Because you're going to have Philip Lindsay now more involved as a change of pace. You get him some, you know, 10 to 12 touches per game. He's going to produce with him. He's shown that he does nothing but produce. And so I think that Philip Lindsay is going to have fantasy relevance this year. He's currently ECR RB40, RB39, and ADP. So if you can get him at that range, I love that. Because again, like Joe said, you're not depending on him. You're not depending on him to be a RB2 for your roster. He could be your RB3, RB4 in some instances in that case. So yeah, I love the Philip Lindsay call. The Damian Harris one, I'm warming up to. Those were, you know, when we talked about that previously on the podcast, I know that you brought that up, Bobby, where could Damian Harris just outright steal the job from Sony Michel? I was in the camp that said no. But when you're talking about now that Sony Michel has the potential to miss time with this injury, that he, you know, is not, I don't think he's going to be ready to go week one. Damian Harris could get the opportunity, but I think it's not going to be as much as people want it to be. I think it's going to be this committee approach that we've seen. Rex Burkhead will be involved. James White obviously will be involved. So I'm not expecting huge things, but I'm changing my tune on Damian Harris for sure.
All right, so Yates, why don't you go with your two running backs?
I am going to talk about Latavius Murray first, and then Tariq Cohen. So Latavius Murray, man, at ECR, RB44, ADP of RB45, people are just completely off of Latavius Murray, and I don't understand it. We're talking about a guy, when Alvin Kamara went down last year, he was the RB1, or like he was in that conversation, in that top five. So if you can get this guy, especially in a year where Alvin Kamara, Saturday, you know, before a game, before a week three matchup, he gets put on the COVID list, and suddenly Alvin Kamara is now the starting running back in New Orleans. Absolutely. Sign me up for that. And then I think he's going to have fantasy relevance to begin with, because Alvin Kamara is going to bounce back from his injury plagued 2019 season. He's going to be more efficient on the ground, which just helps the running game in general. So that gives more opportunities now for Latavius Murray. So I think he's going to drastically outperform his ADP. He's absolutely someone who I want to be taking in those later rounds because he's an absolute steal. As far as Tariq Cohen, he's someone who is going to bounce back. Am I predicting someone to bounce back all the way to his 2018 finish of RB13? Absolutely not. I don't think he's going to bounce all the way back up there, but RB39 in ECR, RB46 in ADP. So people are just completely off of Tariq Cohen, and he is an absolute value this year, guys. I think there's no way that his efficiency stays all the way down at 5.7 yards per reception or whatever it was. It was in that fives last year. Like, there's no way. It's going to bounce back up into the eights or nines, maybe even the tens that he was in 2018. He's going to be incredibly efficient. Those receiving yards will bounce back. The touchdowns will be back. This is someone who I want to invest in.
He's a big play waiting to happen, man. I can't believe his yards per target were so awful last year. That's going to bounce back big time. You know he's going to get 70-plus receptions. I think he's a very solid RB4 that you can plug in during bye weeks when your RB3 has a really bad matchup if anybody gets injured. As far as Latavius Murray, everyone knows I love Murray. He's like one of my favorite, probably my fourth favorite target in drafts, number two for running backs. I'm going to have a ton of shares of Latavius Murray. I think he has standalone value, even if Kamara is healthy. We've seen the Saints produce multiple running backs, fantasy-relevant running backs, many years. Mark Ingram was top six, I believe, and Alvin Kamara was top six in this same season, and Latavius Murray is a very good goal line back. So I think he's going to be useful, and I think he has huge upside. Joe, what do you think about these two players?
Yeah, well, Murray, I'll speak to that because I definitely agree with that one. Like, that's one where I think, once again, we just keep overlooking a guy who's productive and productive in different places, and he's got touchdown upside. And, I always think that Kamara so far from what I've seen is at his best when there's another guy out there in the backfield complimenting him and changing the pace back and forth. And I think Murray's going to get used a lot. So, yeah, I'm on board there as well.
You know what, guys? We didn't talk about Damian Williams opting out, did we?
Well, we're in running back, so it makes sense.
Exactly.
Let's talk about it.
I did it on purpose so we could talk about it during the running backs. So Damian Williams opts out. Obviously, they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the end of the first round. Is he definitely going to be the starter, Yates?
Absolutely. There's no one else on this roster that is going to compete for those touches. You have guys like Darwin Thompson, Elijah McGuire, DeAndre Washington are the guys right now on the roster. Now, I fully expect them to look into some of these veteran running backs that are on the market. Lamar Miller, Devontae Freeman. I would not be shocked at all if Devontae Freeman
signs. Or bring back LeSean McCoy. Yeah.
LeSean McCoy, potentially, if he's healthy. I don't know what his status is at this point, obviously. So, I fully expect one of those players to be added. If that's the case, it's going to eat into his workload. But if that's the case, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still going to be a top 12 running back in this offense. Easy. Based on his receiving ability, he's going to be targeted heavily out of the backfield. Now, where we were looking at this conversation, and I mean, Bobby, you and I talked about this several times, where Damian Williams is probably going to be involved. And I was just at the point where I was pulling Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in my rankings because of no preseason. And then Williams opts out. And now it's like, okay, well, he's going to get the majority of that, the workload that Williams was receiving. So I think he gets a slight bump up. I have him now at RB7. I had him at like RB10, I think, beforehand. So I was really high on him to begin with. There's no reason to doubt that he can finish as a top 12 running back this season, though.
Joe, I had him at RB19. I've now got him at RB5. Is that too high?
I think it is too high. Because I think when you got to talk about the talent level that we already know for sure. Like, see, here's the thing. It's like I don't want to put Helaire into the same grouping of Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott. No matter how much you love the offense, I think you also have to think about who the offense runs through. And as a quarterback, Mahomes, he likes to throw the ball still. And it's not that Hilaire can't obviously catch the ball too and be great. He can.
He's going to get 80 receptions if he's the clear-cut starter.
It's possible. But look, here's the thing. He could finish there. But I don't know if I want to draft him there. And I think that's, you know, sure. He is still a rookie. And I think you have to temper that. That means you like him more than Derrick Henry. It means you like him more than Chubb. Yeah, it means you like him more than Dalvin Cook. It means you like him more than Alvin Kamara, Julio Jones. Like, you know, you got to go.
No, not number five overall. I'm sorry. RB five. So if Dalvin Cook ends his holdout, I'll move Cook up. I've got Kamara higher for sure.
I guess here's my point about that is that I think your best case scenario now, like in Razzball, I just saw him go yesterday in my Razzball draft in the second round, almost immediately after that news hit. I would say an hour later, somebody took him in the second round. And I think that's a great value there where they got him. I think you could push him as early as somewhere about, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in the bottom part of a draft, because on the turn, you can get somebody else pretty darn good and mitigate your risk potentially a little bit there, which I would like to do. I'd like to back him up immediately just because it is unknown. And I don't think he is, even though the opportunity for points is there, I don't think he is a transcendent back the way Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley is. So I don't want to conflate those two things. Just because they're scoring opportunity doesn't make him that kind of talent that's transformative of an offense. But I think there's no doubt about it. He is the guy now, and there's no doubt about it that paying premium for him now is worth it now way more than it was 24 hours ago.
He'll be gone in the first round in every single league. And let's not forget, I mean, Kareem Hunt, who's very good, but I don't think he's as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire was in college. Kareem Hunt, as a rookie in this offense, was the RB3.
You're talking to the president of the fan club there, because I got all the Kareem Hunt shares even this year. So, but yeah, I mean, anything's possible with Andy Reid in that offense for sure.
Yeah, really quick. I'll just say, like, I don't think that the difference between Kareem Hunt and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is that Kareem Hunt is a heavier back, a bigger back. So you're not he was able to absorb more of a workload on the ground. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be heavily involved through the air. I have him down for 200 rush attempts, which is kind of around what, like, think of Alvin Kamara. Like, that's kind of where
it's what he always does. Yeah.
Right. Like, those kind of numbers are what I'm expecting for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because Edwards-Helaire is 5'8", 207, I think, off the top of my head. So, you know, this, he's not going to be someone who takes, you know, 250 carries. That's, I think, what could get him to an RB3 finish. I think he's still going to be in kind of that other tier. But yeah, I think he's a back end of the first round pick for sure.
Yeah, Brian Westbrook was about the same size for what it's worth. That's who he's been comped to, a better version of Brian Westbrook. But you're right about Kareem Hunt being a little bit bigger. Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, sure, I'll probably end up having some shares. But the running back that I really want out of Kansas City now is not Darwin Thompson. It's DeAndre Washington. I mean, in Oakland's offense last year, he came in there and he started three games. What'd he do? 96 yards and a score. He went 106 yards and a score, and he went 122 yards. And in that time, he had 16 receptions in three games. It's pretty dang good, man.
Yeah, no, he's a great back. And so if you're in a deep dynasty league, I put this out on Twitter the other day, if you're in a dynasty league and DeAndre Washington is still somehow on your waiver wire, you got to be picking him up real quick. In the event that they don't sign a veteran running back, they brought in Washington this offseason. You know, they didn't bring him in the event of an injury. They intentionally went out and brought in DeAndre Washington. So that means that they have a plan to use him. And so he's now the clear-cut backup, because you're not going to be relying on Darwin Thompson. Again, he's a smaller back. He's not going to be someone who, you know, carries the ball 200 plus times. You know, he can be a factor in the receiving game, sure. Elijah McGuire, I like him, but he's never going to be that guy either. So DeAndre Washington absolutely could be.
Yeah, yeah. So Yates, you stole my guys, man. Both of them. Those were the two guys I was going to go with. Latavius Murray and Tariq Cohen. I'm going to have a lot of shares of both of them.
You guys have spent way too much time together, clearly.
Seriously.
I've got them at RB29 and RB30. And as you said, each of their ADPs are outside of RB40, I believe. That's nuts. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up Justin Jackson again. Justin Jackson is a guy that when I watch him on tape, I'm like, dang. He might be one of the most elusive backs in all of football. He is super slippery. And you can say, okay, he's not a big back. Can he handle a big workload? Nobody handled a bigger workload in college than Justin Jackson did. And I get it, it's a little bit different in the NFL, but he can run between the tackles. And Philip Lindsay is much smaller than Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson's the same size as Christian McCaffrey, guys. He's a great pass catcher. I'm not saying he's Christian McCaffrey. Nobody hear me saying that. But what I am saying is he can handle this Melvin Gordon load. And I think that Austin Eckler is going to stay in his same role. Now, Austin Eckler's not coming off the field. He's going to move to the slot just like he did last year when Melvin Gordon was there. But I think Justin Jackson's going to beat out Joshua Kelly, and I think he's going to be a weekly starter in fantasy football leagues as the flex.
I hope so. Because I could definitely see that happening, and I think he's one of those guys that you just see when you're in drafts, he just keeps floating and floating and floating, and you keep looking at him going, you know, you really could write the narrative here.
He does not float in my drafts, I'll tell you that.
No,
maybe.
But lot of the ones in the mocks I've been in, he does, and he does because of the looming presence of the rookie. But I think when you consider where we're at with, you know, training camp and where we're at with preseason games and lack thereof both, man, it's hard not to think that he has the edge and the upper hand. Now, he's got to make the most of the time that he gets early in the season. But I think in terms of, you know, heading into the season, having him on your roster is much better than not, because I'd rather have him than have to go spend waiver wire money on him.
Right. Okay. I'm going to get to my next guy here in just a moment, and we're going to do a really fun thought exercise. But first, I want to tell you about our cheat sheet creator. It is just super easy to use, guys. It is going to save you hours and hours of your time as you're doing your draft prep. And it's really convenient to just be able to import rankings from anywhere on the web, even a spreadsheet, into our draft wizard. You know, you can combine multiple expert rankings if you've got five experts you really trust, or you can go and find out who the most accurate experts are and use those. And it's like you have a team of experts in your war room with you. You've got the ability to export your rankings to Excel, and as I mentioned, use them in our draft simulator and draft assistant tools, which syncs with your live draft. You can check out our cheat sheet creator at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. All right, guys, so here's the thought exercise. I want you to imagine that every single starting running back in football goes down for the season at the same exact time for the entire year. All
goodness.
Right. Who goes number one overall in your drafts? Every starting running back is hurt. So basically, who's the best backup running back if his guy is hurt?
Oh, okay, that's the question. I wasn't sure who's the best backup running back of all the guys.
Probably Kareem Hunt.
If he's the starter. You think it's Kareem Hunt?
Yeah.
I think it's Tony Pollard.
I can understand why you think that, but I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt because I've seen him do it. Well, you just said a couple, you know, minutes ago, you said number three overall. Yeah, that wasn't that long ago. It was 2 years.
You're right. It wasn't that long ago. It's a bad offensive line, a decent offense. They've got a run heavy coach.
Oh, yeah. Hey, bad offensive line. We just had the almost, you know, rushing leader with Nick Chubb. So
that's right, because Nick Chubb is absolutely incredible, and he did it even with Kareem Hunt there. And Kareem Hunt can catch the ball on third down, but they've got a lot of other weapons too. This is a slow-paced team. Dallas led the league in yards per play last year. They've got maybe the best offensive line in football. They have no competition whatsoever behind Tony Pollard. He is the direct backup. He's the three-down, game-script-proof, bell cow back. And if I'm telling you right now, if Ezekiel Elliott opted out of the season, I would be drafting Tony Pollard in the top five ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Gates?
I'm accepting Bobby's trade in our league right now. Bobby,
did you really? You accepted it?
Yeah, I'm accepting that. Bobby messaged me about the Ryan Tannehill. He sent over a trade offer.
I got Tannehill, baby! Woo!
Wow, this was like live. I was like, what's going on here? Why was there that moment there where it was silence? I was waiting for Yates, and I hear click, 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 click. That's all I hear. And wow, well, take us through here. This is live action happening right now on the show.
I just traded away Ryan Tannehill, Mecole Hardman, and Adam Thielen for Tom Brady, Allen Robinson, and Rob Gronkowski.
Right. It's a dynasty league. It's a dynasty league.
Yep, dynasty super flex league.
Okay, well, somebody's going in for this year.
I mean, I already have the best team this year. I don't need Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to win the championship.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was fantastic, Bobby. That was my first ever live trade.
I knew you'd love Allen Robinson, dude, so I had to throw him in there. And I like Adam Thielen, so...
is the benefit of us doing so many shows together.
Right. So, Tony Pollard, if Ezekiel Elliott opted out for the season, where would you draft Tony Pollard? I said I'd draft him number five ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon. Actually, he'd be number four because Zeke would be out, obviously.
I don't know if he's going to get the full workload, though. I would expect them to bring in someone. So I think if we're just talking about him getting the full workload, sure. Then, you know, yeah, I can see the argument. But I doubt they give him that full workload.
Do you remember what happened last year when Zeke was holding out in the preseason? Every single snap with the first team, Tony Pollard was there.
Oh, he's amazing. I'm not doubting that. Like, I'm not questioning his talent. I think
Dallas showed us what they plan on doing if Zeke's out.
His contact balance is incredible. But what I'm just saying from a fantasy numbers, like, Zeke carries the ball a ridiculous amount of times.
Right.
And he gets a ton of work out of the backfield. I just don't see that happening.
I don't think people appreciate how good Ezekiel Elliott is and how durable he is.
Right.
And everybody just kind of thinks that it's the workload of the Cowboys, but really it's the workload of Ezekiel Elliott. And I think that's the thing when you're dropping down from Elliott to whoever the next guy is, in this case is Pollard, that's the thing you have to keep in mind. Like, he is not Elliott. So even though he could be good, Ezekiel Elliott is great, and he's great in the circumstances. And I'm kind of with Kyle, just a bit where I feel like, yeah, they think, you know, they would spread it around a little bit more than people realize, or more importantly, than people would want.
See, I disagree, because I think if you put Alvin Kamara on the Cowboys, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, if you put any of those guys in the Cowboys, they're all better than Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't know about all of them. Some of them would be as good, but I don't know about all of them.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, Tony Pollard is my guy. I'm getting him in every single league. Latavius Murray in the eighth or ninth. Tony Pollard in the next round, and let's roll, baby. Okay, so that's all the running backs. Wide receiver time. And Joe, you are first this time.
All right, so here's the three wide receivers here. And look, I'm going to start with a guy who shouldn't be outside the top 100, but he is right now because of the injury. And I'm going to take the risk on him at 112 in the half PPR, and that's Deebo Samuel. I love me some Deebo, and I think he is by far the best wide receiver on this team. And I think he fits so well with Kyle Shanahan, what they like to do. He's so good at, you know, running those slants over the middle, and he's so good at, you know, when they like run those little end rounds and other things they like to do with him and, you know, get the ball in his hands. And I understand the injury is frustrating, and I understand it gives you pause, and I understand why it's knocking him down, and there is risk. But the reward with a guy who's this good, who would have been going in the fourth or fifth round of depending on how deep your draft was, now all of a sudden going outside the top 100, I think you take that risk. I think it's a league winner. And I would also say it's easier to sustain this kind of an injury on your team early on this year because there's going to be a lot of new names popping up and a lot of new guys who are going to get drafted and replaced because somebody's going to be out for 2 weeks or somebody's going to be hurt or some other issue pops up. So you can afford to wait a little bit on Deebo more this year than ever before, in my opinion. So I think that he's worth the risk where he is. The next guy for me is Preston Williams. Again, volume. And I'm also one of these guys that thinks that that Tua is going to play more than than other people do. And we've already had this conversation on this show. He's just such a ferocious competitor. I think he's going to compete his way into starting more games. And that's good news for Williams. And the third guy is CeeDee Lamb at 147, who, you know, I think everyone's looking around and go, oh, there's not enough mouths to feed. But you know what? Randall Cobb at 800 yards receiving in this offense.
Jason Witten left behind 90 targets.
Yeah. And I have a hard time believing that a talent like Lamb, I don't think it's going to be consistent. But I think there will be some moments of productivity that you're going to be happy you had him and you threw him in there to cover a week or whatever. And at 147, it doesn't, I mean, God forbid there is an injury to Cooper or an injury to Michael Gallup or something like that. You're talking about a guy and a talent that has the talent of a number one wide receiver. And how many guys can you say that about who are the number three? Usually you're a number three for a reason. On the Cowboys, he's a number three because of circumstance right now. And you can argue even, you know, next year, who might be the best quote unquote talented receiver on the Cowboys is. I'm a big fan of Lamb, what he brings. And I think between Deebo Samuel, between Williams and Lamb, that those three guys are all really good post 100 wide receivers.
Yates, what do you think about these three, man?
I like them. I like Lamb. I think that from the perspective of he could have some value, right? And Joe qualified it there by saying that I think he's someone that in potential shootouts, like roll him into your lineup because he's gonna be involved and he could see a massive amount of targets. If it's a game that they're expected to win and they're going to rely on Zeke a lot, then you know he might only see four targets. He's probably not going to be someone that you want to rely on as a wide receiver three or a flex play that week. But as far as the talent level, CeeDee Lamb's got it. And then he comes with that upside of if something does happen to Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, my goodness gracious, we're talking about a guy who could see 150 targets, I think. Yeah, with Deebo, I'm unlikely to have any shares.
I don't
shares.
Think I can hang on to him for 5 weeks. I'm not playing this game anymore where I'm optimistic about these early season injuries.
Yeah, the thing with Deebo is that I think he's going to be valuable when he comes back. We just don't know when that's going to be. So, but the benefit is that his ADP is falling drastically. There are a lot of people that just don't want to play that game. Like you said, Bobby, I'm one of them too. So if he is there with your last pick, you know, 15th round, 14th round, absolutely take him, you know, stash him on your IR if he's listed as out and you know your IR can support that, then absolutely, you know,
well, think about how many people spent a pick on Kareem Hunt last year just to wait for week 10.
Oh right, that was ridiculous though.
And
he was going,
and you know what, when Kareem
round.
Hunt showed up, Kareem Hunt was useful. And I think Deebo is this one thing where I don't think it's gonna take him that long as it, you know, for Hunt, like I don't think it's a week 10 thing necessarily.
Right.
At least I don't believe it at this point.
I mean, we thought AJ Green was coming back in like week two.
Right. Well, that was a very scary situation because every week we kept waiting and waiting and there was zero news about it. Zero updates, zero news. And that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it sucked.
I mean, usually there's more news than you could shake a stick at when a guy's hurt. Now it was like nothing on AJ Green. And that was very, very peculiar. But with Debo, look, again, if you wait long enough, is this a guy worth waiting for that can be a difference maker in your lineup? And I think the answer to that is actually yes. It is relative to how far he drops in your draft. Absolutely. That's for sure. That's the one caveat there.
All right, yeah, it's your turn, buddy. Three wide receivers that are sleepers outside the top 100 in ADP.
Yeah, I'm going to go well outside the top 100. I'm going to mention Michael Pittman Jr., rookie wide receiver, USC, coming into the Indianapolis Colts. He is going to be on the field. We're talking about him as a big body, 6'4", 223 pounds. He's going to be someone that is on the field. And in that instance, you want this guy, especially with someone like Phillip Rivers, airing the ball out downfield. Michael Pittman is incredible downfield. Contested catchability, deep ball tracking. He excels at both of them. He can go up and get the football. And he's going to be a factor in the red zone too. So for him to be going outside the top 60 wide receivers, ECR, especially in ECR too, wide receiver 61, ADP of wide receiver 62, I have him at wide receiver 30. So like, guys, like, this is someone who I think, as far as a ranking difference between myself and the industry, this might be the biggest difference, this biggest gap, because I am all in on Michael Pittman Jr. this year. I think he's going to see over 100 targets easy.
He's extremely NFL ready, man. I mean, you talk about not just catching the ball, but going out there and blocking. This dude is a machine.
Yeah, they're super excited to have him in Indianapolis. I mean, go watch any of those like post-draft reaction videos, you know, from the coaching staff and Chris Ballard there. They're extremely excited to have him, and I understand it. You know, he was someone who I was a big fan of watching his college tape. The next guy I'll bring up is Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson now in Carolina. When we're talking about Robbie Anderson, it has to come with the qualification that he has to win the number two wide receiver job in Carolina, which I think he can do. I think he can beat out Curtis Samuel. DJ Moore is going to be the target hog in this offense, no question about it. But there is going to be enough passing volume to support the number two and potentially even the number three wide receiver in this offense from a targets perspective. Robbie Anderson has the talent. It's always been there. He's just been underutilized in New York. And there are other things that we can talk about, other factors, but those are things that you can sit and nitpick if this guy is going within the top 20 wide receivers, the top 30 wide receivers. He's ECR, wide receiver 57, ADP of wide receiver 50. He's well outside the top 100 picks. And so in this instance, he is absolutely worth taking the flyer on. If I'm wrong, if I whiff, if I didn't get it right with Robbie Anderson, he's the number three wide receiver in this offense. If they run the ball more than I'm expecting, then okay, I can cut him. I can move on from him easily. But this is someone who I want a lot of shares of this year because I think he's going to be a fantastic fit in this offense.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson, so in the last 3 years, wide receiver 17, wide receiver 36, wide receiver 38. He gets it done year in and year out. Before we go to your last one, I want Pia's perspective on Robbie Anderson and Michael Pittman.
Pittman's a guy that I've taken a lot in later picks because I kind of see what Kyle does in terms of the talent, in terms of, you look at Phillip Rivers and everyone wants to knock him. He's going from one of the worst offensive lines to one of the best. And I understand he's older, but this is a guy who's always throwing for over 4,000 yards. And T.Y. Hilton's health is always questionable. And I think we have to keep that in mind. There could be a point in the season where you have to lean on Pittman. And if that happens for you and you own him and they have to lean on Pittman a little bit, all of a sudden he becomes a really interesting pick in terms of, you know, a play in terms of where you might get the targets going. And you can get him 8-9 targets in a game a couple weeks in a row. Man, that's great. And we all know T.Y. can miss a month at a clip. That's happened before. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And I'll tell you what, I'll throw my two cents on Anderson too. This is another one where Bridgewater doesn't throw a great deep ball, but I think they are going to be behind in games. I think that defense is very young. They're very young and they're going to get exposed. And I think they've got talent, but youth is going to show its head, I think, a little bit there with that defense this year. And it's going to be a learning curve. And I think that means that there's going to be at least opportunities for a guy like Robbie Anderson when you need to kind of push the ball forward. And I think when you're writing the narrative of the Panthers this year, Robbie Anderson, healthy in the number two spot, makes a lot of sense with a late pick. And Kyle's right. If he's no good, if he's not that guy after a few weeks, you just cut him and it's no harm, no foul.
I can't get excited about Robbie Anderson because I'm a Curtis Samuel guy. And I just don't really see the upside with Robbie Anderson. And Michael Pittman, like, I think he's polished. I think he's probably going to outperform his ADP. But I don't want to reach for him just because, again, I don't really see the upside here. They've got T.Y. Hilton. They've got Paris Campbell. And I'm a Paris Campbell guy. I think that Michael Pittman is going to be reliable, but as like a wide receiver five type. I understand why you're excited about him, however, Yates. You got one more player, and then I'm going to give my three wide receivers, and we'll all move over and talk about our tight ends.
Sure. I'll mention Jamison Crowder. And we just talked about a guy who is from the New York Jets. I'm going to continue and double back to the New York Jets offense because we're looking at Denzel Mims, a rookie out of Baylor. He was someone who I actually wasn't super impressed with on tape. Obviously, I see the flashes. I see, you know, incredible hands and receiving ability, but he wasn't polished by any means. He's more of a raw wide receiver.
Yeah. I was super impressed when I thought he was like a fourth round wide receiver, and then he got drafted, and they were talking about him in the first.
Yeah, there were actually rumors that he was going to go in the back end of the first round, which I was not on board with that. So he falls a little bit into the second round, and the Jets take him, and they have a need at wide receiver for sure. But without a preseason, Denzel Mims' adjustment, his acclimation period, is not going to be, you know, where it needs to be for him to be reliable for fantasy football right out of the gate. Rashad Perryman is the other wide receiver in this offense. Have we been talking about Rashad Perryman as a fantasy relevant wide receiver for any point over the last several years outside of that, you know, what, 6 week stretch in Tampa Bay? No. So I think that he can certainly, you know, continue that stretch with Sam Darnold, and that can certainly continue on, but you don't want to rely on that. I'm not projecting that. So Jamison Crowder, the slot receiver in this offense, in Adam Gase's offense, has always been dominant, has always just seen a ton of volume. And when you're talking about a player who is in outside the top 40 in wide receivers, he's a wide receiver 49 in ADP. So when you're talking about this, I'm looking for volume. I'm looking for these guys who are, I should be having to draft Jamison Crowder as a wide receiver 36, you know, at wide receiver 36 or something like that. I'm getting him 15 spots later. Take that.
If he's healthy, he'll be a top 36 wide receiver. Now, I don't see the upside, so I've got him as a wide receiver 4. I think he's a great wide receiver 4 if you need somebody that you can rely on. Now, I love Rashad Perryman, and I mentioned this before. We saw him for 5 weeks last year, and in those 5 weeks, he had 93.4 fantasy points. The only other wide receivers at any stretch in the season for 5 weeks to beat that: Mike Evans, A.J. Brown, Devontae Parker, Kupp, Cooper, Tyreek Hill, Michael Thomas, and Chris Godwin. I mean, Rashad Perryman was incredible in those weeks, man. And that was the only 5 weeks that we saw out of him. So I'm going to buy some lottery tickets, man. He was actually one of the three I was going to bring up, but since you trashed him, I had to defend him here.
Well, somebody's going to be right. Not both of you. I can tell you that right now. There is enough Jets offense for both of you guys to be right.
I think you're right about that. Dan Harris is going to be very upset with you for saying that. Actually, he'll probably agree because he's like one of those feel bad for himself Jets fans.
Jets fans know. They know. They know by now. They know the score. Okay. Right. The smart ones know.
All right, guys. I'm going Sammy Watkins as my number one. And some of these are going to make you cringe, but I'm all about these post-hype sleepers. You remember last year, Devontae Parker and everyone was calling us idiots because we were like, dude, get Devontae Parker in every single league. Whenever he's on the field, he's actually really good. Sammy Watkins isn't as good as we expect him to be, but Sammy Watkins, when he was on the field last year through 8 games, was a top 10 fantasy wideout. And then he came back healthy for the playoffs. And guess what? He outproduced Tyreek Hill. There's some big upside here with Sammy Watkins, a former top 5 NFL draft pick. I'm getting him at ECR.
Is that number skewed, by the way, because of how big his week one was last year?
Sure, but I mean, that happens with every wide receiver. Tyreek Hill has some really big weeks.
Doesn't happen with every wide receiver. Some wide receivers are consistent. Okay. It happens with Amari Cooper. You're right.
How many wide receivers outside of the top 55 right now have been in the top 10 in fantasy for an 8-game stretch? None of them. Except for him and Antonio Brown, who's my next guy. Antonio Brown, look, I get it. He retired for the third time in 18 months just a couple of weeks ago. But I think there's probably a 15, 20% chance he changes his mind and he plays. There's going to be a suspension, right? And we don't know if he's still really good after a year off. But he's at least going to be a wide receiver 2 in the weeks that he plays. And who else has a 20% chance at being a wide receiver 2 going this late? Nobody. Not even close. So Sammy Watkins, Antonio Brown, and the third cringeworthy wide receiver, Corey Davis, another guy picked in the top 10 last year. Ugh, this time.
That just makes me sad.
I know it does.
I'm just sad about Corey Davis.
Yeah, and it made me sad about Devontae Parker this time last year, too. They're very similar wide receivers. Davis has flashed at times. He destroyed Stephon Gilmore a couple years back. He was great in the playoffs, and those don't show up in the stats. However, Corey Davis just didn't really get the targets last year. Maybe he was dealing with an injury, didn't throw the ball as much. Maybe they throw the ball more. All I know is this is a very talented wide receiver. And last year, the Titans said he's by far our best wide receiver. Now, A.J. Brown was obviously better, but for them to think that highly of Corey Davis, he's going to be on the field all the time. I mentioned that when Tannehill took over, this was the number one offense in football in terms of points per game. And we're talking about a guy who's going to be in the field 80, 90% of the time with all this talent, fourth year in the league. He's still young. All the athleticism, sign me up for Corey Davis, Sammy Watkins, and Antonio Brown. Who wants to blast me first?
I'll blast you on AB. If you're gonna have questions about Debo,
yeah, but he's not Antonio Brown, man.
He's not, but one of them is going to play
right
at some point. Like, and look, yes, it's a fun lottery ticket. You're absolutely right. And in deeper leagues, I get it. I totally understand, you know, taking the shot there. And I never believe him when he says he's done, because he says he's done all the time and then he keeps trying to come back.
And Lamar Jackson's trying to get him right now, baby.
I know. And all the families, the fams trying to get him in the door. And I get all that. Look, I think what you're talking about, these are dart throw guys. These are guys that you can cut immediately if it doesn't work out. And then, you know, to a certain extent, a lot of these guys are we're talking about. But the whole point is of this discussion is finding, you know, people lose attention span in drafts. You know, your casual mom and pop, you know, fantasy league, you know, once you get out of the first, you know, 7-8 rounds, people start to gloss over a little bit, some of them. And that's your opportunity to go after this. And that's your opportunity to get a lot of these names on your team. And if two of the five hit, that's amazing. You know, all of a sudden that's transcendent. That wins you a league, that gets you into the playoffs. And I think that's why it's important to have these conversations, because there's a lot of negative, and this is going back to the Black Book kind of stuff, there's a lot of negative potential players in this pool that we're talking about post 100 that are basically like lighting your pick on fire. Whereas some of these, you might light it on fire, but some of them could actually be fire for your roster. And that's the difference between those two ideas. And
that's fair.
And I think some of these names are, and some of the talent is.
Yates, any comments on those three?
I mean, I'm going to tell the people that are listening on the podcast, go watch our episode over at youtube.com/fantasypros, because my reaction when you said Antonio Brown is worth seeing, because that was just not what I was expecting. I was not expecting that name to come out of your mouth at all. I don't like that. I just don't see it. I mean, when you're talking about this suspension for AB, I mean, we need to remember just how off the freaking rails this dude went last year. Like, the NFL is going to come down hard on this guy, and we could be talking about an 8-game suspension, 10-game suspension. Like, the stuff that he pulled last year was just not good and not a good look for the NFL. So the NFL is going to be, you know, making sure that's felt, right? That he feels that suspension. So even if, I don't think he even gets signed because of it. Like, the NFL is going to drag their feet on this suspension news. The AB's already talking about, hey, speed this up, NFL. The NFL's not going to respond to that. The NFL is going to drag their feet even more. So NFL teams are not willing to sign AB because there's a suspension hanging over his head. They don't know what it even is. That's the case. I just don't. I'm passing, man. I don't want. If he signs and he's on the waiver wire, like if he signs halfway through the year, and it's only a 4-game suspension, whatever, then sure, I'll pick him up at that point. I'll put, you know, significant fab money down if he signs in a good spot. But yeah, I just don't want to draft him this year.
I want the lottery ticket, baby. We're going tight end in just a second. I want to update you guys, though, because I posted a poll. Who won the trade between Yates and I? We're 268 votes in already, all right? Exactly 50-50 tie, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, let's go to the tight end position. Joe, you're first again.
All right, I'm staying on this wagon, and I'm not getting off of it now. I'm going to go with Noah Fant. Young quarterbacks always tend to check down and look for the tight ends. I think Noah Fant showed you some glimpses last year as a rookie, and a lot of rookie tight ends don't even show you that. And I think all of a sudden, when you have two very capable wide receivers that you really have to pay attention to in the secondary with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, who's a phenomenal talent, is Locke the greatest quarterback in the world? No, of course not, but I think Noah Fant's going to have a lot of open middle field to work with. I think the running game is really good, and I think Fant could be a nice little safety blanket and a guy who would just finish right around tight end 11 or 12 potentially, and I think that's perfectly fine by me. And I think he's going to have some upside for some touchdowns in the red zone too, looking at this roster and the way it's built. So for me, it's Noah Fant at 117.5 point PPR overall. And there's a few tight ends actually in this range I think are worth a shot on.
I think that's a great call. Who are the other names? Because, I mean, we're going to say the names that we're going to say regardless.
Yeah, well, Jarwin was another one at 146, super late, especially in those tight end premium leagues where maybe you think about that because
there's a chance, sure.
Again, Dax always had a good history of working with tight ends. So, I mean, I know it's been Witten, and he's not Witten, but you know what? Jarwin, every now and then, it's funny because you watch the Cowboys, and then Jarwin catches a ball, and you go, huh, yeah, I wonder why they don't throw to him more. And then you just realize that, like, there's just not enough opportunity. Well, now all of a sudden, there is some opportunity, and it's going to be fascinating to see. And look, the guy that I had everywhere last year because I didn't like the tight end board going in was Jared Cook, and Jared Cook was perfectly fine. So, yeah, 110. There's another guy, too. I think all three of those guys have a chance to be right around 11 or 12.
All right, Yates, is your guy Jonnu Smith? Because if not, I'm taking him.
It's Jonnu Smith.
Of course. He's like the guy of our podcast, right? If we whip on Jonnu Smith, everyone's going to be mad.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, long
but then again, like,
for you
you're getting him for free. You're getting him for free. Right. He's a sleeper with upside. If it doesn't work, you cut him and you play the streaming game just like half the league.
Right, exactly. That's the benefit with Jonnu Smith. I said this on another podcast. You know, I was saying, like, if I miss on Jonnu Smith, if I'm just completely wrong, if I whiff, then like, I'll bear that completely. Like, I will be the first to admit that I just was wrong. But then also, like, it's not like you're spending a top six pick for, you know, Jonnu Smith at the tight end position, right? Like, you're getting him at tight end 16 right now. So he's this potential breakout, just like we identified Mark Andrews and Darren Waller last year. So Jonnu Smith, for sure, has all the athletic ability in the world. He's just needed the opportunity, and I think he can get it this year. The other guy I'll mention, Bobby, I'm not sure if you were going to mention him or not, is Hayden Hurst. I mean, Hayden Hurst is still somehow, like, at tight end 12 and 13 in ECR and ADP, respectively. We just can't bring him up the ADP ranks at all, and I don't get it. He's in an incredible opportunity. He's a great talent, just been stuck behind Mark Andrews in Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly, and Atlanta definitely thinks he's a great talent because they traded a second-round pick for him. The way, if we go down on Jonnu Smith, you know who else is with us? Bill Belichick, who said that Jonnu Smith last year was already one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yep.
Wow, that's high praise.
Pretty high praise, man, from old Bill. My player is Dallas Goedert. I'm going to have a lot of shares of him because you guys know me. When I'm building my bench, I want the potential league winners, those upside guys. And it's almost always running backs. Now I'm going to have a few wide receivers mixed in every year. I never have a tight end. This year I'm having Dallas Goedert because even in the 15 games that Zach Ertz played last year, Goddard still finished as a top 10 fantasy tight end. He's going to be in that neighborhood again. But if Ertz were to miss time, we'd be talking about Goddard as potentially a top three tight end right away. I mean, let's just say this. Let's say Ertz opts out. Where would you draft him, guys? After Kelsey, Kittle? I don't know if I'd put him behind Andrews. He's right in that range for me.
That's a good question. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I think I might. I think he might be in that range.
Goddard was under consideration for me too with this. It's just, again, the only reason I didn't put him on there is because right now, you know, you have to have that happen for him to become what you want. Like, there's that caveat in there still. And there's other guys like Jonnu Smith, like Jared Cook, Noah Fant, Jarwin, who are that guy already, who are the tight end one.
Mm-hmm. I'm not drafting Goddard to be my tight end. I'm drafting Goddard as a backup upside lottery ticket.
Well, here's a silly question. I'll ask it out loud. If you have Ertz, do you want Goddard? Is that one of the few, like, is that the only ever tight end handcuff besides maybe Hernandez and Gronkowski in the day?
Yeah, I don't care for direct handcuffs, so it doesn't matter to me. But I do want Goddard regardless, and I don't.
Yeah,
want
but it's kind of. But if you put it, but you put a draft stock a high, like a third round pick, if you went that high with Ertz, and not everyone wants to do that anymore. But if you did, man, that's a big investment. I feel like you got to almost protect it because if he goes down, the chances of you hitting on all those other wide receivers and running backs later on is questionable. Like, you need productivity from tight end to stay afloat.
Sure. Yates, what do you think, man?
The only way that I would be looking at Dallas Goedert as like a handcuff, right, quote unquote, to Zach Ertz would be if, like we were talking about early on in this episode, if there were extended bench spots, right? If it's a traditional 14 round, you know, maybe even 15 round league, I'm probably not looking at Goedert. But if there is additional spots where I can roster two tight ends, then absolutely.
All right, guys, that is all for today's show. Joe, anything else you want to throw in there, man?
Well, first of all, it's always a pleasure chatting with you guys. And I hope everyone has enjoyed the show here. We had a live trade happen. Some amazing things. Just crazy stuff here, as always. But no, man, it's always fun to talk football with you guys. And I appreciate the time here. And I love my Fantasy Pros family people. And go get yourself a Fantasy Football Black Book over on Amazon right now. It's on iTunes, too. But some great contributors to it. Relative position value will change the way you look at the board forever in a good way. So go out and check it out. Give it a try if you haven't already. And thank you to everyone who already has. And I hope to be back more, chatting more football with you guys.
Absolutely,
I can't wait,
dude,
for football to start. Let me tell you, dude, I cannot wait.
Baseball too, man. Looking forward to having you back on the Fantasy Bros Baseball podcast that I host. A lot of the new listeners who do football might also be doing baseball. So you guys can check that out. I love baseball and always love those episodes. Joe does as well. And it's always great having you on, Joe. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Yates, I got some good news for you, man. Actually, I'm sorry. It's good news for me. Bad news for you is I took a lead in the poll.
Wow.
Right as the podcast is about to end, I'm going to shut down the poll.
Oh, how
right
convenient.
Now,
right as the show is ending, he's ahead.
Seriously.
There are 23 hours left in the poll, so you guys can get your votes in. The show will be out by the time this poll's over, and you guys can let us know who you think won. And I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Pristine Auction. Make sure to go there and enter that registration code, FANTASYPROS, when you sign up. That tells them that we're sending people their way. That way we can keep doing these contests, and you're going to love what you find at Pristine Auction. All kinds of values. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources, and you're guaranteed to find something that you love for your cave. Again, that's PristineAuction.com, PristineAuction.com. I do want to remind you guys, we've got a contest going on. We're giving away a signed Davante Adams jersey. Details are at fantasypros.com/contest. And if you want to enter, you need to hurry up and get your entries in. This contest ends July 31st, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. It's really easy to enter. It takes like 30 seconds. Leave an honest review on Apple Podcast or Stitcher. Then just take a screenshot of that review and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. And don't forget to check out our cheat sheet creator at fantasypros.com/giraffewizard. It is super easy to use, really convenient, going to save you a lot of time. And it's useful to be able to export and import your rankings into our draft simulator and our draft assistant tools. Again, that's fantasypros.com/giraffewizard. For Joe Pisapia and Kyle Yates, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.